Good morning. Thank you all for attending. We're going to start the meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, we go into roll call. From my right.
Jake McKenzie from the friendly city of Runnert Park.
Hector Bedoya, Healdsburg.
Greg Giusti, Ukiah.
Ryan Sundberg, McKinleyville.
And Alex?
Alex Hart, Siskiyou County.
Valerie, if you would, please.
Good morning. I'm Valerie Quinto, Executive Officer. To my left is Nathan Jacobson, Counsel to the Board. To my right are Assistant Executive Officers Claudia Villacorta and Josh Curtis. And across from us is Deidre Wilkerson, and other staff will introduce themselves as their items come up. Thank you.
Okay, so moving on to item number 5. This is a time and place for the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider adoption of resolution number R1-2025-0010, supporting submittal of the Coastal Pathogen Source Reduction Strategy to the State Water Resources Control Board to include as part of the 2028 Integrated Report. This item has been properly noticed. And at this time, we will start with a staff presentation, followed by board questions and comment from interested persons.
Good morning. My name is Prachi Kulkarni, and I'm a water resource control engineer in the planning unit. I will be presenting item 5, an update on the coastal pathogen source reduction strategy. Also present is Lisa Bernard, the supervisor of the planning unit, who is also available to answer questions.
Could I ask you to move the microphone closer, please?
Yep, sure.
Thank you so much.
Is this better? Okay. In this presentation, I will describe the goals of the Coastal Pathogen Source Reduction Strategy, provide a background on the project and implementation process, identify the impaired and polluted water bodies, describe the pathogen sources identified, along with the source control measures to be implemented, and discuss the proposed recommendation for the source reduction strategy. The Coastal Pathogen Source Reduction Strategy aims to restore supporting conditions for beneficial uses and ensure compliance with water quality objectives by reducing anthropogenic sources of fecal pollution, specifically dog, human, and cattle sources identified in several coastal streams and ocean beaches along the North Coast. Throughout this presentation, I will be referring to the Coastal Pathogen Source Reduction Strategy as the implementation plan. The implementation plan addresses streams that are impaired and polluted for water contact recreation beneficial use, and ocean beaches that are impaired for either the water contact recreation or the shellfish harvesting beneficial use, or both of these beneficial uses. The water contact recreation beneficial use, also known as REC 1, relates to pathogen exposure through activities such as swimming, water skiing, surfing, etc. The shellfish harvesting beneficial use, also known as shell, relates to pathogen exposure through shellfish harvesting for human consumption or for commercial or sport purposes. The North Coast Water Board conducted the Coastal Pathogen Project to address water bodies impaired for Rec 1 or shell beneficial use. This is because the United States Environmental Protection Agency, or US EPA, requires states to address the sources of pollution to impaired water bodies. The Clean Water Act requires states to develop a list of impaired water bodies. This list is known as the Section 303D list. The Clean Water Act also requires states to develop total maximum daily loads, or TMDLs, for these waters. The US EPA also recognizes alternative pollution controls other than TMDLs. One such alternative is the Category 4B demonstration. The Category 4B demonstration is a pollutant reduction strategy which relies on already implemented controls with sufficient certainty that implementation will continue until objectives are achieved and will not be reversed. The implementation plan is a Category 4B demonstration. The implementation plan relies on existing or already planned regulatory and non-regulatory mechanisms to control anthropogenic sources of fecal pollution in impaired and polluted water bodies. North Coast Water Board staff recommend that the implementation plan be attached to the 2028 integrated report, which will be submitted to the State Water Resources Control Board for approval. The State Water Board approval of the integrated report consists of a public review and comment period, which will take place in early 2027. The public will have an opportunity to also provide written comments on the implementation plan during this period. After approval by the State Board, the 2028 integrated report with the attached implementation plan will be submitted to the US EPA for acceptance. A large majority of implementation actions are already ongoing, and any implementation actions that are not currently ongoing will occur no later than the US EPA acceptance of the integrated report in 2028. The implementation plan addresses 6 impaired coastal streams and 12 impaired ocean beaches in Humboldt, Mendocino, and Sonoma counties. The streams are impaired for Rec 1 beneficial use, and the beaches are impaired for either Rec 1 or shell beneficial use, or both Rec 1 and shell beneficial uses. In addition, the plan also addresses 13 additional Humboldt County streams that are currently not listed as impaired for Rec 1 beneficial use, but have at least one exceedance of the Rec 1 water quality objective. Addressing fecal pollution sources to these 13 streams now will prevent them from becoming impaired in the future. The implementation plan is provided as an attachment to the staff summary report, and the full list of the water bodies can be found in Chapter 4. From left to right, the images displayed here show the locations of the impaired streams in Humboldt County and impaired beaches in Humboldt, Mendocino, and Sonoma counties. The implementation plan will apply to these water body locations. Larger versions of the maps are displayed here, and are provided on pages 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the handout supplied. This image displays the location of polluted water bodies, that is, those water bodies that are currently not listed for Rec 1 impairment, but have at least one exceedance of the Rec 1 water quality objective. All these water bodies are in Humboldt County. The implementation plan will apply to these water body locations. A larger version of the map displayed here is provided on page 5 of the handout supplied. From 2020 through 2024, staff analyzed data and conducted additional studies to identify the sources of fecal pathogens in the water bodies examined. Staff evaluated several lines of evidence to identify the sources of fecal pollution to the water bodies examined, specifically fecal indicator bacteria data and microbial source tracking data collected from the water bodies themselves, and land cover, land use, and grazing presence data collected in the upstream watersheds of these water bodies. Staff have developed individual reports detailing the data analysis and findings related to the water bodies examined. Staff shared their findings and proposed source control measures with regulatory and non-regulatory agencies with source control roles in order to obtain feedback, additional information, and agreements on source control measures. The anthropogenic sources of fecal waste identified were dogs, humans, dairy cattle, and non-dairy cattle. The wildlife sources of fecal waste identified were gulls, deer, and elk. Several water bodies were impacted by a combination of dog, human, cattle, and wildlife feces due to the nature of the land cover and land uses in the watersheds of the examined water bodies. Dog waste was detected at the highest frequency in the water bodies examined, followed by human waste. Cattle waste was identified in a very small number of water bodies. The source of dog fecal waste was municipal stormwater runoff from non-disposal of dog waste by dog walkers or from transient encampments or from non-disposal of dog waste in residential yards. Dog fecal waste was also directly entered ocean water from non-disposal of dog waste by beachgoers. The source of human fecal waste was stormwater runoff, sanitary sewer systems, on-site wastewater treatment systems or septic systems, and from transient encampments. Cattle feces deposited in fields and grazing areas entered water bodies through stormwater runoff. Deer and elk fecal waste originated from forested areas in the watersheds of these water bodies. Gull waste originated from beach shorelines, since gulls are natural inhabitants of beaches. The implementation plan focuses on controllable anthropogenic sources of fecal pollution, specifically the control of dog, human, and cattle fecal waste sources. This strategy is based on scientific research indicating that human health risks associated with dog, human, and cattle feces are significantly higher than those associated with wildlife feces. This infographic has been created by Penn State Extension to explain why it is important to correctly dispose of dog waste. The correct disposal of dog waste is important not only for clean water, but also for the health of our communities. Dog waste is raw sewage. It contains twice as much bacteria as human waste, making it a breeding ground for infection. Dog waste left in residential yards, on sides of roads, in drainage inlets, in the woods, or at beaches, releases bacteria that can end up in water bodies where humans and other animals can be exposed. Some of the pathogens and parasites present in dog waste are Salmonella, Giardia, Campylobacter, tapeworms, roundworms, and hookworms. Humans can get seriously ill if exposed to these pathogens. So please remember to scoop that poop. Staff have created action and watch lists of water bodies for regulatory authorities to prioritize for source control. The action list consists of REC 1 and or shell impaired water bodies that also have anthropogenic sources of fecal pollution. The watch list consists of water bodies that are not currently listed for as being REC 1 impaired, but have at least one exceedance of the REC 1 water quality objective and also have anthropogenic sources of fecal pollution. Water bodies on the action list have been identified as being of highest priority for source control. Water bodies on the watch list will be addressed after those on the action list have been addressed. Staff have met with all regulated entities and organizations with a source control role to describe the strategy and to obtain feedback. All entities have provided feedback on and agreed to the strategy. The six REC 1 impaired streams on the action list are displayed here, along with their sampling stations. Page 1 of the handout provided includes a map of the locations of these water bodies. The 9 REC 1 and or shell impaired beaches on the action list are displayed here, along with their sampling stations. The handout provided includes maps of the locations of these water bodies on pages 2, 3, and 4. The 13 streams on the watch list are displayed here along with their sampling stations. These 13 stream locations are not listed as Rec 1 impaired, but have at least one exceedance of the Rec 1 water quality objective. Page 5 of the handout provided includes a map of the locations of these water bodies. There are 3 shell impaired beaches that are not included on the action list. This is because available data indicates that the fecal pollution detected at these 3 beaches is from wildlife sources and not from anthropogenic sources, specifically from gulls, deer, and elk. Therefore, these 3 beaches will remain on the Section 303D list of impaired water bodies unless a natural background exclusion is sought under a future project. The implementation plan relies on existing or already planned regulatory and non-regulatory mechanisms for source control. The implementation plan helps regulatory agencies identify anthropogenic fecal pollution hotspots to prioritize for source control using existing source control mechanisms. These mechanisms include existing or already planned permits, general orders, prohibitions, as well as non-regulatory measures already being undertaken by several management entities to control dog, human, and cattle fecal waste. Regulatory agencies will be required to follow the monitoring, reporting, and best management practice requirements of the permits, orders, etc. used for source control. The Water Board expects and will oversee compliance with the required regulatory permits and orders. The implementation plan relies on adaptive management to measure the success of the control mechanisms implemented and to manage source control activities over time. The entities responsible for implementing source control actions include state, county, city, and water board departments, as well as several non-government organizations. Staff have met with each of these entities to discuss the project findings, as well as the anthropogenic fecal source control strategy of using existing measures and addressing action list water bodies first, followed by watch list water bodies. These meetings have helped responsible entities to identify fecal source hotspots to prioritize for source control. All responsible entities have provided us with feedback, including current, ongoing fecal source control measures, and have agreed to the source control strategy. Dog waste was detected in all but one of the water bodies on the action and watch lists, with the main sources being stormwater runoff and recreation. There are several ongoing or anticipated regulatory and non-regulatory measures that target the major sources of dog waste. The regulatory measures are the Phase 2 Municipal Separate Stormwater System Permit, or the Phase 2 MS4 Permit, and the California Code of Regulations, or CCR, Title 14, Section 4312. The Phase 2 MS4 Permit regulates the discharge of pollutants from small municipal separate stormwater systems. This permit is currently being updated by the State Water Board to include specific requirements to control pet waste. Once approved, the updated permit will allow regulators in Phase 2 MS4 jurisdictions to control pet waste pollution resulting from stormwater runoff. CCR Title 14, Section 4312 is currently ongoing and authorizes state parks to require pet owners to clean up after their pets. In addition, state parks' peace officers are also responsible for issuing citations. These requirements will control dog waste resulting from recreational activities at impacted beaches managed by state parks. The cities of Arcata and Eureka and the Humboldt County Parks Department and the various non-government beach and trail management organizations also have ongoing non-regulatory measures to control dog waste. These measures include the provision of dog waste bags and collection bins, signage indicating requirements for dog waste control, prohibition of dogs from certain trails, and connection building with the transient community. These measures will control dog waste arising from recreational use and stormwater runoff. Human waste was the second most frequently detected fecal source in the water bodies on the action and watch lists. The main sources of human waste were stormwater runoff, sewer system outflow, septic systems via groundwater, transient communities, and recreation. There are several ongoing or anticipated regulatory and non-regulatory measures that target the major sources of human waste. The regulatory measures are the Phase 2 MS4 permit, the Sanitary Sewer Systems General Order, county local agency management programs, or LAMPS, in accordance with the On-Site Wastewater Treatment System Policy, or the OTS policy, and CCR Section 4324. The Phase 2 MS4 permit is currently being updated by the State Water Board. It has always included and will continue to include mechanisms to control the discharge of human waste through stormwater runoff. The Sanitary Sewer Systems General Order regulates sanitary sewer systems and is the existing regulatory mechanism to control the discharge of human waste resulting from sanitary sewer system leaks. Humboldt, Mendocino, and Sonoma counties all have LAMPS to regulate the discharge of human waste into groundwater resulting from septic system leaks. In addition, Humboldt County has also recently completed a sampling study to assess water quality in water bodies influenced by OTS in areas under their LAMP. This study includes the watersheds of several action and watch list water bodies. CCR Title 14, Section 4324, is currently ongoing and authorizes state parks to require human waste to only be placed in fixtures provided for that purpose at beaches managed by state parks. The cities of Arcata and Eureka also have ongoing and upcoming regulatory and non-regulatory measures to control human waste originating from sewer infrastructure and transient communities. For example, an inflow and infiltration reduction project in the city of Arcata, which is expected to significantly reduce wastewater outflow from sewer system infrastructure, in addition to also reducing groundwater and stormwater infiltration into the sanitary sewer system. Other examples from the cities of Arcata and Eureka include constructing housing for transient individuals, moving encampments, cleaning up debris, conducting dedicated policing, and building connections with the transient community. These measures will address any human waste from stormwater runoff influenced by transient communities. Cattle waste was detected in a small number of water bodies on the action and watch lists. Dairy cattle presence was found to be more prevalent than non-dairy cattle presence. The main source of cattle waste was stormwater runoff. Staff have identified water bodies with dairy cattle waste sources to their colleagues in the dairy unit and have received confirmation that the dairies in the watersheds of these water bodies will be prioritized for source control during routine inspections under the general waste discharge requirement for dairies, also known as the dairy permit. Non-dairy cattle were identified as a source of fecal waste at one stream and one beach on the action list. The ranch known to be a source to these water bodies is currently under enforcement action for water quality issues, including those related to non-dairy cattle waste. The other water body with potential non-dairy cattle waste source is on the watch list and also has dairy cattle waste as a source. The dairy cattle source at this site will be addressed through the dairy program. The non-dairy cattle source at this site will be addressed through enforcement action if needed. The Water Board expects compliance with regulatory permits and orders implemented for source control. In addition, the Water Board will also oversee compliance with the required regulatory permits and orders. Regulated entities will be required to follow the best management practices, monitoring, data collection, and reporting requirements of these regulatory permits and orders. In addition, under the Beach Watch program, county health departments will continue to collect fecal indicator bacteria data from beaches in Humboldt, Mendocino, and Sonoma counties, including all the beaches on the action list. all of the monitoring data collected under the required permits, as well as the beach wash program, are submitted to the California Environmental Data Exchange Network, or CEDIN. The CEDIN data are evaluated under the integrated report process and will help integrated report staff determine whether the action list water bodies can be delisted and if watch list water bodies need to be listed. Any revisions to the source control mechanisms, if required, will be made using adaptive management, specifically through our partnership with agencies, tribes, and NGOs in the impacted watersheds by leveraging their authorities, funding, ongoing non-regulatory mechanisms, and data collection to obtain feedback on the success of the source control requirements implemented. The implementation plan is an alternative to a traditional TMDL and will achieve source control by using existing or already planned regulatory and non-regulatory mechanisms. The details of the implementation plan are provided in a document attached to the staff summary report. This document is the Category 4B demonstration for the Coastal Pathogen Source Reduction Strategy. The goal of the implementation plan is to restore supporting conditions for beneficial uses and to ensure compliance with water quality objectives in several coastal streams and ocean beaches along the North Coast by controlling anthropogenic fecal waste sources to these water bodies. Therefore, staff are requesting the board to adopt resolution number R1-2025-0010, supporting submittal of the Coastal Pathogen Source Reduction Strategy to the State Water Resources Control Board to include as part of the 2028 Integrated Report. These are links to the project webpage, the State Water Board's meeting calendar, and contact information for the project. This concludes the presentation. Thank you. I would now like to invite you to ask any questions you may have.
Prachi and Lisa, thank you so much for the presentation. A lot of effort and good work went into this. It's a good start to try to control some of this stuff that has been laying dormant for so long. And despite there being porta potties and facilities on these hiking trails, people still go off trail and make their deposits. Dogs are allowed to run and make their deposits, but it's a good start, and I commend you for this, and as it relates to improving water quality.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Prachi, thank you. Lisa, very thorough and thought-provoking discussion. I don't think I'm going swimming soon. I'm looking at the list of impaired beaches here in Mendocino County and Big River, Casper, Hare Creek, and Pudding Creek. And, I mean, I realize why you sample those areas. They're easy to get to. They have good parking facilities, and they're easy access to the beach. And that's why, and for the same reason, that's why people take their dogs there. I'm looking at this list, and though we have the regulatory authority, I really like the non-regulatory collaborative efforts you're trying to develop with those entities that control those parking lots or that are managing those parking lots. I mean, the use of signs, the use of available, you know, potty bags, all those things. There's no end to this problem. People are always going to – there's a lot of dogs out there, right? And these kind of places that you've identified, they're so easy to get to. I mean, same reason you sample them is the same reason that people go there. And so I really like, you know, the inclusiveness of that list of collaborators and participants, because this is going to be a team effort. No single law is going to get this done. It's going to be people that care about their resources, care about their beaches, and can provide support to what you're trying to accomplish. So good job. Thank you for bringing it to us, and I look forward to getting updates as things improve. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'm curious in terms of collaboration, what contacts do you have with the health officers for each of these counties in terms of possible impact on human health? You indicated that there would be an annual collection of data and that would be made available. Have there been actual contacts with the health departments in each of the counties to weigh what the potential is for impact on human health?
So we have been in touch with the Humboldt County Department of Health and Human Services, specifically the Department of Environmental Health. Mainly, they have been the one that we've been most in contact with because so many of our water bodies are in Humboldt County that we've been sampling. And so we discuss with them. We've met with them. They're aware of this issue. They're conducting their own sampling studies. So those are the county we've been most in touch mm-hmm. with. I have had a phone call with the Mendocino County, and I don't really have an ongoing relationship with them, but I can develop that. And I can do the same with Sonoma County with the one beach that was sampled there.
Yeah, I just if you look back at the earlier days of fecal contamination around the world, then it was and is still in many areas a major public health mm-hmm. concern. And I'm just wondering, do we feel or do we know that there is actual public health impact? People who swim in these areas on a regular basis?
Lisa just reminded me that the Beach Watch program that I mentioned is where the data collection happens annually in the summer from April through October, and that's conducted by the counties. So Humboldt, Mendocino, and Sonoma counties go to all the beaches, in addition to the ones that are part of this study, and collect samples, fecal indicator bacteria samples, and measure them and make sure that they're either, if they're above or below the limit. And there can be advisories if it exceeds the acceptable limit. So
thank you.
So, for example, when summer comes around and people go to Johnson's Beach and you see huge crowds, is that water sampled?
Johnson's Beach, is that?
Let's say Guerneville, Lower Russian River.
I don't think that's part of the Beach Watch program, but I think the county samples there. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I know from hearing things about the Russian River that there have been advisories and warnings for beaches along the Russian River.
For bacteria or?
Yeah, for bacteria. Harmful,
I know, we know harmful algal blooms.
I'm not familiar, because I don't really work in that project, right. But I do know that is monitored as well. Yeah, and I do know that, at least in our office, we get advisories and information about that. So I do think someone is monitoring that.
Sure.
But like I said, I'm not really familiar with that project. I'm going to let Lisa answer that.
So there's two kind of different pots of monitoring that we're discussing.
Can you talk closer to the mic, please?
Is that better?
A little bit.
Better?
Yes.
Okay. So the Beach Watch program is funded under... What's the
AB 411.
That is only for ocean beaches. So the counties are funded through that measure to monitor ocean beaches. And then in the Russian River, the Sonoma County has taken on the effort of monitoring the most popular swimming beaches. And so they've been doing that for over a decade. Probably longer, and they post all of their information as it becomes available on the county website. So that is an ongoing program that is conducted in the Russian River.
Thank you.
Hello. I'm curious to know that, like in Humboldt County, we have a few like really big hot spots for homelessness, and one of them is behind the Bayshore Mall. And there's there's no porta potties or anything back there, and I doubt the mall lets them all in to use the restroom. So is there like cleanups, or is there monitoring, or is there programs where they could put porta potties up in these spots that have a lot of people that are using the restroom outside?
So when we talked with the city of Eureka, they know about this issue, obviously, and they mentioned, I think I listed some of the things that the city of Eureka is already doing. They're building housing for transient communities. They're cleaning up debris. They're basically, you know, trying to deal with the human waste issue that is associated with the communities there.
But the immediate support would be to find funding to hire a porta potty service and have half a dozen put out there and service them twice a week.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the updated phase two MS4 permit has requirements for that, for both dog waste and human waste. So yeah.
Chair Bedoya, I think, and Prachi, correct me if I'm wrong, but the MS4 permit is going to require a pathogen plan, essentially, as part of that, right? Do they have to come up with a plan within like a year? Is that correct?
I'm not too familiar with the updates in the phase two. Phase two MS4 permit, because I don't really deal with permits all the time, but I can check with State Water Board and get back to you on that.
Yeah, I think that's I'll check as well. That's my memory, that they have to come up with a plan to deal with pathogens, and so that would be included in that after the update.
And how do you mitigate range grazing, fecal matter or discharges? Do you create a buffer around tributaries and enforce that buffer?
That's the most effective way, is to keep cattle out of the waterways themselves, and then to create a buffer where possible to filter any water, which would also be good for the protection against nutrient deposition in the waterway as well. So that would be ideal. The good news with the study is that we didn't see a lot of grazing influence. We had the one location where the stream actually discharges to the beach, where we found cattle waste, and so those are very, you know, interlinked. And in other areas, we've only found a couple places, and they seem to be more associated with dairy cattle. So we've got a good program in place at the Regional Water Board to manage waste from dairy operations, and our team has been alerted to kind of focus in on those minor limited number of hot spots.
Thank you very much. Alex, do you have any comments?
Not this time, Hector. Thank you.
Okay, then if there are no more comments, I would entertain a motion.
Before you do that, I just want to verify that we don't have any public comment cards in for this item.
We just got one, actually, so we have one person on Zoom who would like to comment.
Please, let's hear the commenter.
Jennifer, can you unmute and make sure we can hear you? You'll see a timer on the screen for 5 minutes.
Can you hear me?
We can. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Jennifer Kalt. I'm the executive director of Humboldt Waterkeeper. Thank you for taking comments via Zoom. As you know, your regional board hearing is it's probably 4 hours drive from Humboldt Bay, so makes it very easy for me to comment. I really, really appreciate that. I'm commenting to urge you to delay approval of the resolution before you, which contains conclusions and recommendations that are not supported by evidence in the record. It appears to be based on numerous documents and reports that have not been made publicly available. Many are not referenced in the staff report or in the summary, so the public doesn't even know where to go to ask for the information, the titles of the reports, that sort of thing. We understand that since 2016, government documents posted online must be ADA accessible, but the ADA accessibility requirement was never intended to make government documents inaccessible to the entire public. We request that these reports be posted online during a new public review period for this resolution, or at the very least, their titles and dates should be listed so that members of the public know which documents to request. I understand that this is the beginning of a process, but we believe this is premature to even adopt this resolution today. I would also like to ask whether staff has meaningfully engaged with tribes on what is being proposed in this resolution. I'm not asking about whether regional board staff have the authority to regulate water quality on tribal trust lands, which was discussed in the hearing on the 2026 integrated report. Humble Bay supports many species of clams that are frequently harvested by tribal citizens as well as members of the Hmong community around the bay. And Humble Bay supports the vast majority of commercial oysters produced in California. Impacts of bacterial pollution on people who harvest and eat shellfish should be more thoroughly considered before approving this resolution to initiate an implementation strategy in place of a TMDL process. The North Coast Basin Plan notes that Humboldt Bay in particular has been impacted by bacteria pollution since 1981. And this is an ongoing problem that, you know, we look forward to working with region board staff to implement management strategies. But we do believe that this is premature to consider the resolution before you today. We urge you to deny the resolution until supporting evidence used to develop the proposal for a Category 4B approach rather than a TMDL process is presented to you as well as made readily available to the public. Thank you.
Jennifer, thank you for your testimony.
May I ask a follow-up question?
Absolutely, please.
And this is going to be to Valerie, probably, and staff. Jennifer, thank you for your comments. Kind of following up on one of her questions about the availability of documentation and studies, research that went into some of this. Can you speak to that question? And then secondly, it's my understanding this resolution, this is just kind of our support of the state board's integrated approach, and it's not so much, I mean, we're up against a little bit of a timeline, but I mean, can you kind of explain to me what what you're asking us to, this resolution, what actionable things are we doing beyond, hey, this is our support, here you go, state board. That's how I was understanding this.
So I'll just start off. Thank you for your questions. I'll just start off by saying that there is a list of the documents that were used to craft this plan on our website, and an indication that members who are of the public who are interested can, excuse me, contact staff for copies of that, and that actually has occurred with one member of the public.
I just want to add that the member of the public actually contacted us through the documents that we've already made available. So that's where they got the list of the reports that are available. They asked for those reports, and I sent them to them. So this is how the member of the public was able to get a list of all of the reports in the publicly available reports. So that actually is they are available. And I made all of the reports available as requested.
And excuse me, Prachi, but in the back of our briefing here, under heading 11, there's a page and a half list of references.
Yes.
Those are the references
yes.
you're talking about.
Yes. And all of the reports are in there, and that's how the member of the public was able to.
And are these references the foundation for
yes.
what's contained in there?
Yes.
And a larger question, requesting that a TMDL be considered, we've had this discussion before, but that's not an overnight thing. That takes an extensive amount of time, and we know that there are pollutants in Humboldt Bay. We know there are pollutants in other water bodies. I would be hesitant to put this off to wait for the beginning of a TMDL to address the same thing. Am I correct in thinking that if we were to not do anything and go on the TMDL path, that would be an extensive and timely effort, time-consuming effort?
That is correct. And I think Lisa can speak to this much more eloquently than I can, but in short, this 4B designation, the intent is to work with existing mechanisms rather than developing a TMDL. But if that doesn't work, there still is the opportunity to develop a TMDL. But the idea is that this type of plan can be implemented faster because it uses existing mechanisms and, prioritizes and improves upon the implementation of those mechanisms to get things done faster rather than developing a TMDL project. But it doesn't foreclose the possibility of doing a TMDL project if we find that that the plan isn't working.
In my reading of this document, I did not think it diminishes our recognition that there are these problems, that there are these pollutants, and it puts everybody on notice that we're moving forward with a strategy to engage people to help us address these pollutants that are in these waterways.
That's okay. Right.
So there was a couple of other questions or issues that Ms. Colt brought up that I will respond to, which is that we probably could and should do a better job of engaging with tribes around the Humboldt Bay area. I'll just be honest about that. We worked very closely with the implementers of these programs, but not the tribes. And so we really should and could do a better job of that. And we do have time to initiate that between now and when this would go for public comment, as well as through the public comment period for the integrated report process. So we have about 18 months where we could be working with tribes. There's nothing set in stone about this implementation plan until it is actually approved through the 2028 integrated report process. So it still can be updated or modified if it's needed. The thing that we're asking for from the board today is to offer your support for going through that process. And we would still be the ones responsible here in Region 1 for responding to all of the public comments and making any revisions through the future public comment process.
Thank you for your clarification, Lisa.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please.
I just wanted to follow on tribal consultation. As some of you know, we just had a workshop last night on the racial equity action plan, and what came up in that was that to conduct such outreach is resource intensive. And Mr. Chair, just in terms of the record of our discussion today and the response from staff, I believe it would be appropriate for the board to recommend strongly a program of engagement with the tribal communities, and other entities in the Humboldt Bay area over this next 18-month period.
So noted.
Thank you.
In the interest of supporting human health, I would entertain a motion to approve resolution number R1-2025-0010, approving submittal of the coastal pathogen source reduction strategy to the State Board for the 2028 integrated report.
I so move, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Second.
Deidre?
Chair Bedoya?
Aye.
Board Member Giusti?
Aye.
Board Member Sundberg?
Aye.
Board Member McKenzie?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hart?
Aye.
Thank you. Let's take a 15-minute break, please.
Thank you.
Item number 6. We will continue the meeting with item 6, continuation of hearing on Administrative Civil Liability Complaint 2023-0047A issued to Bodine Company for alleged violations of the Industrial Stormwater General Permit at its Mark West Quarry operations. The board held a 3-day hearing on the complaint from February 5th to February 7th. After reviewing the evidence and arguments submitted, the board released proposed order R1-2025-0017 yesterday, April 1st. As set forth in the proposed order, the board determines Bodine violated the industrial general permit and investigative order related to the permit. The board proposes to assess $126,989 in penalties. The order provides the rationale for the board's decision and contains the detailed discussion of where the board finds the evidence supports the specific allegations in the complaint. Before considering a motion to adopt the order, I will allow comments from the parties and any interested persons. I will allow a maximum of 30 minutes each for the prosecution and Bodine. I remind the parties that this is not an opportunity to submit additional evidence or new argument. We will begin with comments from the prosecution team.
I'm sorry, before the prosecution team begins, just want to make one note for the record. The board advisory team received one ex parte communication from an interested member of the public following the hearing, and that communication is available for the party's review if they would like to review it. It was a comment general in nature regarding the hearing and the board's deliberations. The board will make that available to the parties if they would like to review that ex parte communication.
I think we'd be interested to see it for the prosecution team. Good morning, Board Chair Bedoya, members of the board. The prosecution team doesn't have any comments on the proposed order. Thank you for your time today.
Good morning. Thank you. I appreciate also your decision and detailed decision as well in the order.
Thank you. Bodine?
Good morning, Chairman Bedoya, members of the board. I'm Sean Hungerford for Bodine. Very, very brief comments. Just wanted, on behalf of Bodine and Bo and Dean Soylent and the company and its supporters, wanted to thank the board and thank the advisory team for the attention given to this matter. We look forward to the board adopting the proposed order, and we look forward to bringing this matter to a conclusion. And that's our comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Deidre, are there any interested parties?
Yes, one, potentially two
testimony
on Zoom. Don, we'll start with you. If you can unmute and make sure we can hear you. Don, can you hear us?
Okay, you have somebody else.
No, the other person dropped off, so Don is still on. Don, it shows you as unmuted, but we cannot hear you.
All right, I think we should move on. Board, are there any comments that you'd like to make? There being none, I would entertain a motion unless there's something else, Council?
Yeah, Chair Bedoya, just to make one notation, if there are any typographical errors or punctuation changes necessary to the order, the advisory would ask that the board authorize the advisory team to make those minor non-substantive changes to the order, formatting and so forth, following board adoption.
Thank you. Then I will entertain a motion to approve the administration civil liability complaint 2023-00.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don is raising his hand. I think he's trying to comment. I just wanted to make you aware of that, Chair.
If he's still available, let's hear him.
Don, can you try to unmute again and state your name? Again, it shows you as unmuted, but we cannot hear you.
AV guys, any resolution over there?
Don, I'm going to promote you to a panelist and see if that helps at all. One moment. I know it shows him as unmuted, but.
Okay, thank you. I was having audio issues. I appreciate the consideration here. My name is Don McInhill. I'm the Deputy Director of Russian River Keeper. We've worked with many industries from construction to municipalities to industrial sites and more recently vineyards to reduce sediment pollution in the Russian River watershed. Sediment has been a priority pollutant for our work since it has such a large negative impact on ecosystem health and in particular endangered submonids. The Russian River watershed has a high degree of impairment for sediment pollution, and most of this sediment is caused by current and past human activities, and hard rock quarries are one of those sources. I'm speaking today to support the North Coast Water Board staff who diligently inspected the Bodine Quarry on Porter Creek and noted violations of the Industrial General NPDES permit. I watched 90% of the February hearing, including most of the staff presentations, Odine's rebuttals, and their presentation, and I missed a fair amount of the board discussion and public comment, unfortunately. I've been monitoring the activities of the staff and board since 2001, and in past instances of permittees being inspected by the Water Board staff and staff giving orders or corrective notices to permittees, the vast majority of those instances result in immediate response from permittees to correct violations. This is one of the cases where it's clear that this facility ignored many corrective orders and direction to address issues as directed by the staff. For this reason, I support the prosecution. And while you've made your decision in this matter, I certainly hope you take under consideration in the future that, you know, I've watched a number of other enforcement actions in the last year, and you know, I don't see this being much of a deterrent effect, the fine you're offering. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on this matter.
Thank you for your testimony, Don. Okay.
I move the order as you had presented it, Mr. Chair, with the proviso that there be permission for technical and other changes to be made that don't affect the meaning of the order. I so move.
Second.
Deirdre, would you call the vote?
Chair Bedoya?
Aye.
Board Member Giusti?
Aye.
Board Member Sundberg?
Aye.
Board Member McKenzie?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hart?
Aye.
Thank you. Well, that concludes this portion. Thank you. Our next meeting.
Can you have the executive officer report, Mr. Chair?
Valerie, would you provide us a EO report?
You know, I don't have anything in particular to report on verbally. As usual, I would draw your attention to the written executive officer's report. This meeting's EO report includes an enforcement report, which was we took a pause in the last board meeting on that report, and so this enforcement report gives several months worth of activity and has a little bit of a new organization and format that is less labor intensive for staff, and we hope will be equally, if not more, helpful to the reader. And that's all I have, unless board members have questions for me.
Just at the end of your written report, where you look at projected future meetings, our next one is in Yreka.
Our next meeting is in Yreka.
And are both days indoor sessions? Will there be any outdoor field excursions?
We are currently working on the possibility of a field tour that I'm hoping we can fit into the second day of the meeting, but need to do some deeper looking at that to make sure that everything will fit in that day. But I'm hoping that we will include a field.
So we'll be meeting on a Wednesday and Thursday.
Yes.
And so we'll probably be showing up Tuesday night, right? I mean, it's a long way to Yreka. So, okay, it's yes. Going to be I'm just trying to look at my schedule, and it's essentially going to be 4 days. One day up there, 2 days in the meetings, and the fourth day coming home.
Exactly. Yeah. That's my plan.
Okay. Good. Yep. And the agenda the draft agenda here is pretty set, what you've got with us. It looks like that first day. Well, it looks like it's going to be a full schedule. I see a lot of action items.
Yes, there are a number of action items. The potential field tour component came about since this report was released, so there isn't the projected agenda items for the meeting doesn't include a field trip, but that may be included. And then I think that we may end up short one information item, depending on staff circumstances. But one way or another, I think we'll have a couple of pretty full days up in Yreka.
And just looking out at the June meeting, we're still on tap to consider the commercial vineyard GDWR in the June meeting.
Yes.
We're still on schedule for that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, June will also be a couple of, I imagine, pretty full days of meeting.
I see a lot of A's, a lot of action items on that. So,
and Greg, thank you for chairing that vineyard project.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
We also have, I believe, on May the 1st and 2nd, the Sacramento meeting with all the other regional board people. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. The Water Quality Coordinating Committee, which is a meeting that includes board members and executive staff from state board and all the regional boards, is happening in Sacramento. I'm not looking at my calendar, but I trust May 1st and 2nd is correct. And that is a public meeting that is open to the public in person and webcasted, and the agenda for that has yet to be posted.
Great. Board members, any requests for future agenda items or items of interest? Personally, I'd like to pursue the Coyote Dam sediment releases. That's a big issue. If it's been proven to be destroying steelhead reds, potentially salmon reds in that area below the dam, it's important to do what we can to control that sediment release.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that item is very much on staff's radar. We continue to be eagerly awaiting a biological opinion from NOAA. We hope to be able to rely on their expertise in terms of fish impacts and how to appropriately determine impacts. to fish in the watershed, and so we're eager to see the biological opinion, which we hope will be released later this year, and plan to have more information about that and about the regional board's path forward once that's released.
Thank you.
I'd just like to second Hector's request regarding the Russian or the coyote, excuse me, the Coyote Dam. And I definitely think we need to help bring them into compliance.
This isn't as burning of an issue as Coyote Dam. I mean, I totally agree that that should be a top priority. But I would be interested in an update on the progress of the ONRW, Outstanding National Rivers, or yeah, Outstanding National Rivers Resource Waters.
Resource Waters.
Resource Waters. We did approve that a year ago. Mm-hmm. It'd be one of those, you know, half-hour update kind of things. If you could squeeze it in, maybe before the end of the year, if it works for them. But it would. That was a first for us as a board to adopt such a program, and I think probably most members might not have been there when we took that vote. So that would be it'd be a fun, easy program to get an update on. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree. I'm really excited about that project. And as you might recall, in the triennial review, we dedicated pretty limited planning staff resources to it, and we're relying on outside resources from non-governmental organization partners. From what I hear, all is you know, going well working with those partners. But because of that partnership, we'll have to certainly work with them to figure out appropriate timing. But I agree that that would be a great update to share with board and public.
Mr. Chair?
Yes,
please. I'd be interested at sometime later on this year in a presentation on how Proposition 4 monies will be allocated and distributed.
Great, thank you. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because it came to mind as a possibility for me when you mentioned it yesterday, but I don't think I had made note of it. So thank you for mentioning it again, and now it's in my notes.
Before we conclude, I just want to thank Nate for all your efforts in putting this resolution together, and the advisory team for helping guide us through this process.
So noted.
Agreed.
And with that, we'll adjourn.